huge congratulations on the honorary doctorate. It must feel wonderful.
Oh, it certainly does. I mean, it was a wonderful ceremony. I really enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed the speeches. They were really good and not too long. And I enjoyed seeing so many young people enthusiastic about mathematics and having chosen that as their specialty at university.
And about you, you've been described as one of the foremost applied mathematicians in the world of our time. What would you list as your greatest achievements? Oh. And there's no room for modesty.
that's hard to say because, you know, it's like asking what your favorite child is. I mean, I love them all. I mean, so I'm always most enthusiastic about the thing I'm doing now, of course. I mean, because I'm really immersed in that. But as I was describing at the ceremony, I really like it when beautiful mathematics comes together with interesting applications. And I've been very lucky in having had several projects where that happened in my life. So those are the ones I really enjoy.
Yeah, amazing. And so many to choose from, as you say.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There's never a shortage.
Yeah. I'm going to look at my notes here because these are very precise but very impressive things. So you were the first woman to become professor of mathematics at Princeton.
Yes. So the first woman who had tenure at Princeton.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
In mathematics.
And the first woman to receive the National Academy of Sciences Award.
That's correct, yes.
And also the first woman to become president of the International Mathematical Union.
Yes.
Which is quite a lot of firsts.
There are too few women in mathematics. I mean, and there are not very well understood, but I think mostly cultural reasons for that. And once we have more women, we'll see more women in all those roles. I mean, if you don't have many women, then there are not many women who can take on one of these prominent functions. But the more women we get, the better. We'll be represented at those levels as well.
And you were saying that you were pleased about how many mathematics graduates there were at Warwick today.
Yes, absolutely. Because in many universities in Europe especially, the number of students going for mathematics is not as high as it was 20 years ago. And Germany is an exception on that. But the number I saw here at a university of 5,000 students is a wonderful, amazing. It's something to celebrate.
Something unique, I suppose.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm going to suggest to people in math departments elsewhere in Europe that they send somebody here to find out what the secret is.
And the things that you've talked about, the things that I've listed, would make anyone think that you're a trailblazer and that you're an inspiration. What would you say inspires you, and what advice would you give to all the graduates today?
Well, I've been always curious. I always wanted to know what made things work, why things worked the way they were. And so why the sky was blue, I really did ask that from my father. But why, when you had an orange object and you saw it in neon light, it looked white. Of course, it didn't look white, but it looked the same as a white object looked, because both looked orange. Why, when you see neon light through a green sunscreen on a car, it still looks orange. The color doesn't change. It's dimmed, but it doesn't change. And that's because the neon light is monochromatic, and so it can be annulled. It can be blocked, but it can't be changed, not by a simple colored filter. So many things I would ask, how is that? How can that doesn't fit with other experiences I've had? Why? How is that possible? So I'm constantly, my children actually chide me for that. That when something doesn't look consistent, I'm looking, oh, that's because of that. So then I can let it rest. But so I always wanted to know. I always wanted to understand and so on. I tell my doctoral students that being a little bit obnoxious and obstreperous is a good thing, because if you see beautiful mathematics, if you find it too complicated, then it's good to say, can't I do that more simply? Because most of the time you can't. I mean, people have worked long on and hard on it to make it in the shape it is. But sometimes you can, and that's when you have achieved something new or something different. Or sometimes you can find a completely different way of understanding something that people already knew, but they didn't know that path. I mean, it's like people who do mountain climbing. I mean, even things that have been climbed before, if they find a new route, I mean, that's an achievement. I mean, that's the same thing in mathematics. Yeah. You're constantly finding your own routes, your own handholds, your own ways of taking things apart, of putting them back together, of doing things with them.
And your message to today's graduates, would it be to be curious always?
I think it is good to be curious, and it's good to be creative. I mean, mathematics uses so much creativity, but I can see creativity elsewhere. I'm exhilarated when I see creativity at work, in art, in daily life, and people are so creative, even in small things. And I think that brings joy in my life.
Mm. And I know your research has led to lots of things which are kind of essentially household names now, most notably the JPEG. With your
JPEG 2000.
Yes.
Because the standard JPEG doesn't use
wavelets. Ah, right, okay. But something that we all use in everyday kind of language and certainly on our computers. How important do you think applied mathematics is then to daily life?
Oh, actually, people sometimes think that mathematics is esoteric and not really important. But the thing is that mathematics is a much bigger thing than what is called maths in school. The maths in school is only a small part of maths. And I think they singled out small part of maths that was the easiest to be made formulaic. And as a result, people think that the formulaic side of it is what math stands for. And that's not true. There's much more to math than that. And not only that, but everybody has this kind of math impulse in them. And I mean, newspapers publish Sudoku puzzles. Those are math. It's not high-level math, but solving a Sudoku puzzle is exactly using math reasoning. And newspapers wouldn't publish them if people didn't want to do them. And so that's a mathematical impulse, wanting to figure that out. It's a challenge and you want to figure it out. And it's a purely mathematical challenge. And so kids all have that impulse. And somehow we are not good at keeping it alive and kicking. Or in people who wear it alive and kicking, they don't recognize it as math anymore, maybe later. So I think we have a huge challenge of making. And many people are stepping up to that challenge, but we need even more of adapting math teaching. Not that I don't think it would make any sense to remove math from. I mean, the world's getting more mathematical, if anything, and more branches like biology that weren't math heavy are relying on computational algorithms, where in order to understand what you're doing, you need some level of math. So we need more and more, but we need to, as everything, we need to adapt that teaching. I mean, teaching in other branches has adapted. Teaching in mathematics will adapt as well.
Mm. Yeah. And so we were talking earlier about the fact that you've received this honorary doctorate from Warwick.
Yeah. Why
is Warwick particularly special for you?
Well, Warwick is one of the top universities of England, of course, and it has a personal importance to me because it was where my husband, who I didn't know then, was an undergraduate, and so I'd heard about it, but I'd also heard about it as, when it was created, a truly innovative math department. It was created by somebody who had a vision of creating an absolutely top department, but in a completely different direction than the Cambridge or Oxford departments. And it's very interesting that when Oxford opened its new building not very long ago for mathematics, it reminded me on the inside of the structure of the Warwick department that had been built a long time ago, but which was very revolutionary at its time. It was an open structure where everybody could get in contact with each other very easily, where there was room to discuss and easy contact between students and faculty. And so my husband had come here as an undergraduate, and he'd really, really, really enjoyed it very much. And then when he'd gotten the opportunity to go to Oxford for a higher degree, he'd found that he really didn't settle well, as somebody in the faculty at Oxford later told me. He never settled well. I mean, so he didn't settle because he didn't like that atmosphere. And so he then wondered whether mathematics was really his thing. But then he realized, and fortunately it was somebody at Oxford who made him realize that it was the math that he really, that he did like it. It was Oxford he didn't. And so he then went to the States for his PhD. But still, I mean, the fact that Warwick had been this beacon of a more modern way of approaching higher education in mathematics, I knew about Warwick even before I came here for the first time about 10 years ago, but I also know several of the faculty at Warwick well, and so I have a great respect for. Was wonderful for me to be asked to get an honorary degree here.
I'm so pleased to hear that. And have you enjoyed your time on campus?
Very much so, very much. I mean, of course, the weather is incredible.
So true. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate that.